But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Touchdown, Washington. Just a perfect throw by Mariota over the top of Deron Bland for the Washington touchdown with 2 seconds left.
And with that, we finish up the Dallas Cowboys regular season, and now the real fun or excruciating agony can begin. Good morning, Metroplex. This is your home of the Cowboys, as you heard with the great coverage from Brian Broaddus and Zach Wolchuk in the official postgame show on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Full morning team is here. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Bell. We got Pepe in the back. We are live on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. 23-19. This thing is over at 7-10.
Yeah, a little disappointed that it's over. I like to drag on pain for as long as I possibly can.
You'll get to drag it on the next 11 days. You
got about 12 more days to drag this thing on, or week or whatever. Thankfully, we don't have to watch this anymore. Bad quarterback play or meaningless football. I think those are the two worst kinds of football. Bad quarterback play being one. And I don't think we necessarily had bad quarterback play throughout the course of the year for a lot of it. I mean, Cooper Rush played fine. But meaningless football is very difficult to get through.
It was terrible. It was awful. And there is no relief. There is no exhale to the season being over, because it's not over. And we're sitting here going, are you going to run it back again? Are you going to do this again? Are you going to basically say, well, I mean, we can adjust a thing here or there and all of a sudden go from 7-10 to being legitimate Super Bowl contenders? Because the answer is no, you can't. You need to overhaul something. And so now we just sit here and go, how comfortable are you with actually turning this thing into a contender? And if you don't make the new moves necessary, then you're not comfortable at all.
Jerry spoke for 23 minutes after the game. I want to give props to the DFW media. I mean, they brought the hammers out. It was incredible. Great job by everyone in that scrum, from are you still going to be general manager to are you keeping him? What does the hay in the barn mean? All these different things. And Jerry suggested, again, none of us know what the English language mean. At least Jerry's Webster. None of us have a clue. All in does not mean I'm pushing all my chips to the middle of the table. And apparently hay in the barn does not mean that they already made their decision on Mike McCarthy and that yesterday was not going to have any input on that call. Very strange. As Jerry Jones told the reporters in re-explaining his vocabulary.
Well, the point is that all that I'm going to look at, I was asked, I was answering the question. And that was, does the outcome of this game really impact his future? And I said, no. All of the things I'll consider are haze in the barn.
Haze in the barn. So all the information has been gathered. That is the Jerryism for what hay in the barn. Right. All the information has been gathered doesn't necessarily mean we've made a decision on it, right, as he tried to backtrack to go ahead and just keep the torch lit and keep this thing alive for the drama to play out.
Who's the announcer that says the Hayes in the barn? Is that the Rams announcer?
Ravens.
The
Terry
Ravens.
Sandusky.
The Ravens.
Well, how could you forget?
Got to change that name there, pal. He says that when the team, you know, basically when the game is over, you know, like when the moment that the it is clear that they're going to win, that they're going to be able to kneel it down, and the game's over. Like that's what hay in the barn means.
But you know what the scary reality is? Maybe, Bobby, they haven't made up their mind. That's the scary reality of what I took from that yesterday. Again, Jerry wants to keep it alive. It's about, you know, selling headlines. It's not about winning games first. It's being on First Take and the topic for the next few weeks here. The Cowboys are the number one draft pick where they probably know what they're going to do, but they want to suck every single second and minute of coverage out of the media until the pick is announced. You know, you don't come on and be the who made announcements yesterday? The Miami Dolphins, the Indianapolis Colts, right there after the game, the New England Patriots firing Gerard Mayo. They do not believe in coming out and saying, you know, for stability's sake, for getting ahead of everyone else in their interviews, here's our decision, here's the news, we've had weeks to think about it, we're eliminated. No, the Hayes in the barn, that doesn't mean that we've necessarily decided.
You know the best way to drag it out a little bit more and the best way to get some more pub on there? Jerry, just go ahead and pop on with us tomorrow at 8:30. You could do that. You could do one more hit, and that'll help really drag it out.
If Cowboys PR keeps feeding him stuff like yesterday, he'll just call in unannounced.
Nick Harris yesterday had a tweet where he said, after today, the question isn't if Jerry Jones brings back McCarthy, it's how. And I think that's it does sound more like he's trying to figure out how do I make this work? How do I do this? How do I justify this? Like it sounded like somebody who wanted to, but he's got to make sure, does the money work on my side? Does this work? Does that work? Do I get things exactly the way I want? Because if it's not on my terms, if I don't get it the way I want, then he can go.
Well, RJ, I'm going to turn this over to you and you can put on your Jerry hat and try to explain this. Jane Slater hit us up yesterday, sent the audio to Bobby and I, and she goes, can you listen to this just to make sure I heard this correctly? Because Jane tweeted something about incentives. Not incentives for Mike Evans. Not incentives for Cooper Rush. Incentives for the next head coach of your team?
Well, but I wouldn't want a coach here that...
No. Sorry, cut 13, Pepe. Go ahead.
Well, anything is possible. And because of contract status and, most of the fans that I have, most of the fans want everybody to be on the incentive plan. Everybody wants it to be on the incentive plan. And so the more you can have the incentive plan, to me, the better you've got the way sports is aligned with sports and goal of having accomplishment, and you align that with the financial end of it. For instance, I might say, look, I'm going to pay you this much, but then I'll pay you not anymore, and I know you want twice that. But if you get to the playoffs or you win a Super Bowl, I'll give you five times that.
What? What?
This is why Mike Tannenbaum said what he said that you posted the other day.
Just New Year's talking. Resolutions. What should every team's New Year's resolution be? Mike Tannenbaum, former GM, said, stop doing radio.
He just gets him. He just starts going. He goes down a path. And I do this. I do this a lot because I have to mention the family. All right, so I go down a path.
R.I.P. Chopsy.
It's very early. Come on.
It is. Say it's
in his death or the show.
The both.
you go down a path, and then you realize I don't really know where the hell I'm going with this. Okay, and then you got to kind of take a detour, and then you go, oh wait, I got an idea. This is going to sound great. This sounds great in my head, and then you put it into words. It doesn't sound so good anymore. I don't think this means that he's going
to. Is he going to go to Mike McCarthy and say, look, here's $2 million. No, seriously.
Yeah, I know, right?
Here's $3 million. If you win the NFC East, it's another million. For every playoff game, you get $500,000. If you win the Super Bowl, you get $5 million. Is
don't
that
tell
what
me
he's
what I'm saying?
Is that not what he's saying?
I don't think he means. I don't think we're supposed to do that literally. I think that yes, he is going to give him an incentive based deal. Like, I mean, if Mike Bacon's $5 million this year, he'll make $5 million again. But the incentive also is probably short term. It doesn't have to be like, it could be just a short-term thing again.
Give me an example of what that incentive could even mean.
Here's your $5 million. If you win the Super Bowl, you get an extra 10.
Yeah, because I don't think that exists in any other contract in the NFL. Not that I could find for a coach.
No, I know. But like, Mike doesn't make $18 million anyway, right? Like, he's making, what, $6 million a year?
It comes across.
He's making four and a half or five.
It comes across as cheap.
They are cheap when it comes to the coaches.
It comes across as every year he tries to give the fan base a little something that he thinks is going to appease you. That's why he went with that little fan angle there. The fans really want incentives. You got to work for it. So rather than blow out the coach, rather than get a new staff, I'm going to make you scrap. I'm going to make you earn it. See, really, is that what he's trying to play to with the fan base to make them somewhat happy if McCarthy returns? Oh, we don't care. We don't care that Mike McCarthy, if he makes $1 million, $2 million, it can get to $8 million if they win some playoff games for the incentive. That doesn't hit with me.
This is going to be, the way Jerry was talking yesterday, I don't think he's prepared for what feedback will be if he brings McCarthy back. I don't think he has any clue what this is going to look like. And for somebody who's usually pretty good at judging blowback.
How could they not? They listen, they monitor, they read, they gather headlines, they gather tweets. How could they not?
Because I think there's still it's like when you're in anything yourself. When you're in anything yourself, you can take certain feedback or have certain understandings. But the reality is, like, you're going to be blinded to certain things. I think there is a blind spot here in terms of, well, we finished the season hard. I saw this. I saw that. Where's this? There's, by the way, the only other contract I can find here that has any other incentives in it that I've ever found was Matt Rhule. Okay, so you want to follow David Tepper model? That's what we're leaning into is what Tepper does.
What was it?
It was he had $60 million over 7 years. He could have earned as much as 70, but they didn't specify what the incentives were.
Yeah.
But he could have earned as much as $10 million more on his contract if he did that. Nobody cares about that. They want to win. They don't want like a carrot bouncing in front of McCarthy's face to win. Just hire somebody who's going to win games for you.
Now you have this. By the way, Todd Archer, who was a part of that scrum, will join us live at 7:20 this morning, the great Cowboys insider. Can Mike interview somewhere else? If you're not committing to him today, if you're not going to commit, if you're going to drag this out to January 14th, will you allow Mike to go talk to other teams?
Well, but I wouldn't want a coach here that won't be someplace else.
Would you let any other team talk to him before you make a decision on him? Would you grant permission?
Again, I'm not even for sure that where we are with the technical, what you can do and what you can't do. I think that before you can talk to a coach, you're supposed to know officially, is he still under contract or not? And the facts are he's under contract.
So Jerry's like, he can't go talk to anyone until January 15th anyway.
Right. So Archer clarified this, is that they can grant permission beginning Wednesday. They can't grant it before then. So these next 3 days are his own. But he can grant permission. He can decline or grant permission however he wants starting Wednesday.
So this is what they would call like an exclusive negotiating window?
His contract technically runs out, next Tuesday or next Wednesday or whatever it is. When that runs out, then he can no longer block it. But he's got a week there where he can block things. These first 3 days, nobody can even request
it. How ridiculous is that thought and sentiment? Was that like a threat? Was that a little like, minor veiled threat?
It feels a little like negotiated leverage. Like, all right, go. I won't block it. You show me if you want to go interview, though.
Right?
Yeah.
Insane. He's just supposed to sit back and heal and beg for a treat and wait for Jerry to make his decision without talking to the Bears, the Saints, or whoever else. Are you kidding me?
They operate on their own schedule, their own way, and...
And that's why we're 30 years deep. 30 years dry.
Yep. Yeah, 30 years. That's a great point. Jerry talked yesterday, and we'll play all this, I'm sure, throughout the day. But Jerry talked yesterday about how he's going to be the GM or whatever else. If he got put on an incentive-based contract, would Jerry still be here as GM based on incentives?
Well, he would on regular season wins. He probably would on a playoff berth.
No.
And then that's where it would end.
That's about where it ends. Yep.
You know, double-digit wins. You get to 10 wins, playoffs, maybe NFC East. Yeah, yep. he'd hit about three of the six escalators. Yeah, he would.
What a mess.
It is a mess. I feel so bad for the Metroplex. Totally held hostage. 23 minutes of explaining it afterwards as well. 877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. And then he went and suggested that this year, not winning 4 out of 5, not Cooper Rush's play, not McCarthy with a backup, this year should not factor in to deciding on Mike. He said that for the year. He's like, well, I almost feel like you have to throw this year out. Is that good or bad for Mike?
Great. It's great for Mike. Because at the end of last year, you decided he should come back. So if you're saying we're resetting this whole year, then that means you think he should come back. This is what it sounds like to me. If you're going to say this year doesn't count, well, you already had this decision with Belichick on the market last year and said, nope, I want Mike.
Mike McCarthy, final lasting image, a humongous coaching mistake. I'm happy about it for Team Tank. Bobby's head is happy about it for Bobby Baldness. Star up, star down. The final one of the Cowboys regular season brought to you by Crown Royal is next on 105.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, now I do think you go for it here. You don't kick the field goal with the field position and all that, but I would love if the game was a little bit different.
I mean, this is a healthy yard.
Excuse me. Let's see if the Cowboys let this thing run down and then take a timeout and bring him out. Aubrey.
1 second to snap. Look at that. They took a delay of game.
Delay of game. Oh. Offense. 5-yard penalty. Fourth down.
Okay, well, he must have been the punt unit he was bringing up over there, John Fossil.
That's so interesting.
It's more than interesting, yeah. Brad. Just say it. Just say what you may have probably been saying off mic. Star up, star down here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby as the Cowboys thankfully lose and fall to 7-10. I will tell you where they're picking coming up here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. And shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. Hopefully you are staying warm and you did winterize. What the heck was that? 4th and 1, basically midfield, Washington 47-yard line with 3:25 left. Take a delay of game penalty to go ahead and punt the ball back to Marcus Mariota for the game-winning score.
It's the decision of a coach who believes he's staying already, I guess. Like, what do you do? What do you do? Or who genuinely took it to mean this game meant nothing to
Broadus was
your future.
Dumbfounded in the post, as he should be.
There's no justification for it, unless you are just saying, I'm back next year and I want a better draft pick. Or if you say they're really not going to make the decision based off this. It is such a... Jason, you remember Jason Garrett in Houston? It was 2018. They went to overtime against Houston. They had a 4th and 1. They decided to punt it. And then Houston goes down the field, scores, and wins that game in overtime. And Jason Garrett in postgame gets asked, they say, you didn't go for it on 4th and 1? And he replied, well, it was a long one. And everybody's like, are you kidding me? That's what you, you instead of just justifying it, you go like, well, it was really 2. Like, it felt very much like that Jason Garrett, ultra-conservative, ultra-tight. Well, I mean, it's a long one. It's not just one. It's 4th and almost 2. And that's a different question.
Lance's legs out there. You have Hunter Lipke, who had gotten some run. You had, I thought, a nice day on the ground, whether it be Rico or Deuce Vaughn.
You also have nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
Yeah. Look, the thought process, I understand. I just disagree with it in general. The thought process is against a bad quarterback, you play the field position game. Against a good if you're playing Mahomes, you go for it. You don't want to give him the ball back. Against a bad quarterback, you're like, make him go 90 yards. They'll never do it. I get that. In that situation, though.
But again, flow of the game, I have to point out, Marcus Mariota played better than Jaden Daniels.
They had not stopped Mariota.
Absolutely.
Mariota was the reason they won.
1,000%. Yeah, this is a classic odds thing that the analytics department says, like, look, if it gets a bad quarterback, play the field position game. Don't be risky against a good quarterback. You actually want to be risky. You don't care if you give Mahomes the ball at the 50. He can score for the 50 or the 20. Make a guy like Mariota beat you from 80 yards. I get that. But you have nothing to lose, A. You've got a mobile quarterback. You could get it. It's a yard. It's at midfield. And,
I would also like to
go. There's no reason not to.
I would also like to go back, and we got the perfect show for it. You guys are, book report, research, studs. I'd like to see the percentage of, 3-minute drives at the end of games, because I feel like it has definitely gone up in terms of effectiveness with the prevent defense that allow you to get in the range. I remember, for years you've been saying, you just have to assume you can go ahead and get the ball back with a minute left. Certain things are overrated. The defense is going to go ahead and back up. They're going to give you space. I'd be curious this year, the final 3-minute drives, to see whether they have a higher effectiveness rate compared to years past, because it feels like it has. But dumbfounding. It makes no sense. I'm happy Mike did it, because it led to a loss and a better draft pick, but that was dumb.
Had they won that game, they would have gone to the 15th pick.
Oh.
So now they're at what, 12?
12, which there's a lot of people who think there's about 12 first round grades this year in the draft. So I mean, you might be right on the edge of that. Here's the other thing. I think there's a good chance that they looked at this and said 4th and 1, we should just punt it because Jake Ferguson's probably going to get penalized anyway if he's on the field.
Let's take it a star up, star down. Brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey sponsor of the NFL. It was a fitting final interview we had with Jerry Jones on Tuesday with the phone issues, and this was a fitting final game for Jake Ferguson's season.
What a just disappointing year from Jake Ferguson. And I get a lot of this was thrown off by
3 penalties.
The quarterback that he had such a good chemistry with ended up going down. Okay, and if you look, the numbers definitely, nobody was probably impacted more by Dak going down than Ferguson. His numbers just plummeted when the backup quarterbacks came, and he doesn't have the same sort of...
Yeah, but if anything, right, that number one safety valve for your backup quarterback should always and still be the tight end.
You would normally think so. It's bizarre how much his targets seem to go. I mean, yesterday, he got his first catch in the third quarter. And a couple weeks ago, it was against Philly. It was the third quarter. And so he does not have that same sort of chemistry with them. But he was bad in this one. And he had those 3 penalties. It felt like 8. And there was did you see on the 3rd penalty, Lunda Wells, the tight end coach, who never is seen just barking at guys, is all in Jake Ferguson's ear. And when Hanson Yang, one of the Cowboys' assistant athletic trainers, comes over and tries to give him a water bottle, you see Ferguson swipe his arm out of it, get the hell out of my face. I don't want that. And so Ferguson did not seem locked in yesterday. That seemed like a distracted football player. So he definitely gets a star down, not only for this game, but probably for this season.
Yes.
He just was not good enough this season.
11 penalties in all, by the way, for 86 yards, 5 false starts as a team. Perfect ending for McCarthy. To the regular season, may not be the end for McCarthy. Chop, where are you going on Trey Lance?
I'm going to go a general star up. There were some things that were very Trey Lancey, but I mean, at the end of the day, he made some throws that looked like he could not have made those in the preseason. Most of those were early in the game, and they figured
nice
out.
Opening drive.
Very nice opening drive. I used his legs a little bit, semi-effectively. Then there was the red zone passes were just that one that he threw in the dirt. I mean,
that would have been his first touchdown pass in 3 years.
It was a Dowdle. He had Dowdle wide open and he underthrew him by about 11 feet. But I think generally I was more pleased than displeased with Trey.
I agree with you. I wouldn't give a star up. I would probably just leave it incomplete, but a lot of this is different, different, fun. What does he have? You could definitely see the arm strength. He makes some throws where it's okay, Cooper Rush is not capable of that. And then you see him going high and sailing the ball out of bounds and not even giving guys a chance. You saw it all pretty much together yesterday.
We saw this in camp. We saw this in the preseason. He looks the part. He's one of those guys. He's tall. He's got a good frame. Ball leaves his hands well. He doesn't know where the hell it's going. You know, I mean, so like generally I was like, all right, you know, I was more happy than unhappy with Trey. It's a lot of work. He's got a lot of work to go.
Most first quarter yards of his career. Of course, we broke the news here on the show that he would go ahead and be getting the start.
I saw that wink emoji on Friday. I knew what that meant. I had an understanding.
What'd you think of Lance?
It was fine. I think a lot of this gets skewed.
You were expecting worse, probably, right?
Yeah. I mean, I expected him to turn the ball over. It was better in that sense. First drive, he hits a couple of, you know, hits a couple of throws that pick him up some chunk yardage. They move down the field. I think outside of that first drive, when he steps out there and does a couple different things outside the pocket, it looked remarkably similar to what you would expect from Trey Lance. Other than, like I said, turnovers weren't there, but skipping throws, sailing throws, just the ball it's never accurate with him. Even when he hits guys, it's almost never accurate. Broadus brought it up in the post game, and I think it was a good way to say it. It's like he doesn't know who he's throwing to. He doesn't know, all right, Cooks, you're 3 inches shorter than the last guy I threw it to. It's like he has no ability to measure things and tailor them for whoever he's throwing the ball to.
Trey on how he prepared and when he found out he was starting.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a backup quarterback life, you prepare the way like you're going to play. I found out pretty early in the week. But obviously was excited for the opportunity.
Cowboy fans are not buying this next response at all. I thought it was just more questioning of Jerry Jones as the general manager. No, Tolos are like, don't buy that. Don't let him off the hook for incompetence. Pat Doney asked Jerry the big question. Did Cooper Rush's bonus, by the way, this got lowered from a $500,000 bonus to $250,000 if Cooper Rush basically played this entire game. Did Cooper Rush's bonus play a factor here, make you look cheap, and cause you to start and play Trey?
I didn't even know about it. I didn't even know about it until I read about it. So nothing at all. Those incentives are in there for the team. And we put them in there so that if someone is, in his case, as a backup quarterback, has to play, they've got the financial incentives, but they're usually put in there because of people representing him, and they should be. So he did really earn some pretty serious incentives this year.
My first reaction is that's kind of incompetent. You don't know. I didn't listen to all of KMC with Jerry on Friday. I don't know if they brought it up to him. We brought it up to McCarthy on Friday. Yeah. Like, how do you deal with the incentives?
I have no idea. Never heard of those.
Everyone knew about Mike Evans' incentives, but Tolos are not buying it. They're like, no, Cooper Rush was done dirty. This was messed up. This was screwed up. How do you feel about that? Because you're always a big guy of, all right, you're sending messages to players around the rest of the league. If there's going to be a tipping point in a decision, the Cowboys may keep you off the field to keep the money.
I don't buy that he didn't know about it until he was told about it. Like,
he read about it.
I do buy that he didn't, he may not have known about it. Like, he doesn't, like, go look at everybody's contract every week, right? But somebody, his agent, whatever.
I would think someone handed a sheet. You know, like, Twitter made a sheet of the incentives for the week.
When was this written about? Thursday? Something like that? I don't buy that this wasn't discussed before Thursday.
Do you think that Trey played because of this? Did the Cowboys just want to keep the $250,000?
I'm sure it.
I told you though that they had an out. I told you they had an out. They had, and I don't care. By the way, it makes it better that it's $250,000 than $500,000. But if anything, I'm mad that Trey Lance didn't play more before this.
No, I don't. I don't. Because, like,
you don't what?
I don't think it's the reason he didn't play ultimately. Because, like I say, 45% of the snaps got him $250,000. They wanted to be really cheap over $250,000. Play Trey. That nobody would have cared if they said we're playing Trey Lance the rest of the way. So, to me, I don't think it was ultimately the reason. Do I think they had an awareness of it more than they're claiming? Yes. Do I think that it's the reason they played him? No.
I think very, very small chance that that's the reason they played Trey Lance. I think they wanted to just give Trey a chance, see what he has.
I do think they played enough plays yesterday. They had 75. They did play enough that if Cooper Rush would have started the whole game, I think he would have hit it.
Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey sponsor of the NFL. We'll continue with that. We'll take some of your Cowboy calls if you want at 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. But, of course, now the playoffs are set, where the good teams actually get to compete. What are you most excited about when it comes to the matchups? More of that, your Cowboy phone calls. We got a Nelly ticket giveaway as well. Sean, RJ, and Bobby continuing right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Fourth and one. Snap is back. They hand it off. No, he kept it and ran through the middle on a quarterback draw to the 20 and all the way down to the 15. What a great ball fake by Mariota. They faked it to the back who got stuffed, but Mariota kept the ball.
And did you see Malik Hooker, who I had with a star up, with his Nick Young moment? What was that, Bobby?
His finger there. Yeah, we stopped him. And then he realized, oh, crap. Mariota's got the ball. I better tackle him. And that's sad because Malik Hooker had a pretty decent year. He was pretty good this year. And
was he? I didn't notice him until yesterday. The whole
That's
year.
A good thing. Like, I mean, if you notice the safety too often, you're probably noticing just getting toasted. And he didn't have a lot of that this year. He played solid. He was good.
He had some breakups. He had a big third down tackle. He had a huge hit on Bates in the fourth quarter that stopped a big gain. But then he prematurely... Who's the Chicago Bears player with the Hail Mary?
Tyreek Stevenson.
Pulled a little Tyreek Stevenson, celebrating a little bit too early.
Clapping, getting excited. Premature clapulation is what we call that.
Fan replay brought to you by Ciroc Vodka here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. What do you think is going to happen with McCarthy? What do you want to happen with McCarthy and your own star up, star down for the Tolos right here in the 6 a.m. club at 877-881-1053. Andreas in Dallas, start us off. You are live on The Fan. Go ahead.
Good morning, Sean, RJ, and Bobby. I got a few points. One hell of another year. You guys are covering the Cowboys. Thank you for all y'all do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As a Cowboys fan, what can they do differently this offseason? The Cowboys are the only team that says the salary cap is an issue, while the 31 other teams don't seem to have an issue with it. If Dak has another bad year, can they go the way the Broncos did, just cut Russell and Wilson, what they did, eat the salary cap, have a bad year, reset, do what the Eagles do, get ahead of – don't fall in love with your players, get ahead of the curve. Like, what hope do we have? It's going to be the same year in, year out, until something drastically changes or they get magically whipped into the playoffs. That's all I have.
Thanks for the call. The Broncos made the playoffs despite a league-high $89 million dead cap. The largest single-season dead cap hit in the history of the National Football League, with Russell Wilson at 53 mil. Now, Chop, I know you're going to poo-poo on it. We got time for that throughout the week. But Denver in the postseason for the first time in 8 years, and they did do it with those type of cap restraints.
Yeah, Dax, I mean, look, you can get out of it like after next year with a post-June 1.
Roughly. Well, I mean, it depends on how many triggers are in there.
It's just on Over the Cap's website. Like, you know, this year you're not going to do it, right? You're not going to be able to get out of it.
So here's the issue. He has 1 year rolling guarantees, which means anything that you see on the cap right now, it's not going to show up on the cap until it guarantees a year earlier. Yeah. So a lot of this is going to be really difficult to get out of for the next 3-4 years.
So like,
offer him a bunch of sweet tea or water or Red Bull, whatever he has lined up for every game.
Oh, the golden leaf, the tea he had there.
That's good tea, by the way.
He's like the Nick Saban of just having all this like product placement out there.
Seven, though.
Yeah.
Seven bottles.
Yeah.
Every game.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of hydration there.
Now everyone's like, that's product placement sponsorship. Do you really think someone went to him and said, line up all these things for us? Are the Cowboys...
Don't they... So in the NBA, they will like smack a bottle you have in front of you at a press conference. Yeah. Maybe then. Maybe if they're like, we trust you're going to be thrown up there on camera at some point, so have it on there. You could. I don't know.
That's next level.
It could. Unless he's like, I don't want to get up. It's too far of a walk, so I'm just going to grab everything I can at once.
Yeah, that could be if he's dealing with the hamstring and he's just like, I need to have as many of these in front of me as I can.
Healthy enough to walk down on the field in the second half. I'm like, what's he doing down there? Get off the field. Stay up in the press box. What are you doing?
Coaching, baby.
Blue and Mineral.
Like Aiden Hutchinson last night.
Blue and Mineral Wells, you're next up on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Go ahead, Blue.
Hey, guys. Tolo for life. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it.
I just want to say, You know and I know that Jerry Jones is the ultimate Cowboys and the ultimate money man. So whenever it comes to why did the decision get made, you know that he's going to be looking to maximize returns in money and viewership for the team. So Cooper Rush was the guy to give the maximum returns as long as we could have made a potential playoff run.
Yeah.
Whenever that went away, Cooper Rush was the best chance at going for a 500 season, keeping the Cowboys fans into and engaged with the team.
Yeah.
Once the 500 season went away and the playoffs went away, the only thing he knew that would keep people interested was to see Trey Lance in action.
Yep.
So obviously that was the next decision that he made. We can't get mad at him for making decisions based off of the things that he's done his entire career. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Oh, so you're trying to just be like, hey, don't be surprised. Just be mad at yourself. You know what the other person is going to do in life. Don't be mad at them. You know their MO. You know their pattern. Be mad at yourself for continuing to follow along with it.
Like the
expecting
argument,
someone to change.
Don't be mad if you stay with a cheater. Like if a cheater is going to continue to cheat, don't start complaining about it. Like do something about it at some point. Otherwise, just sit there and live your life.
Chris in Tampa Bay listening on the Odyssey app. Chris, good morning. Thanks for calling. What do you got?
Yeah, the last caller hit it on the head, guys. Honestly, it feels like you guys started this morning talking about the Cowboys, and I didn't care. Shout out to Mikey B, because I'm like, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this organization, Jerry saying, oh, I didn't know about the incentives for the quarterback, not the third screen left tackle. This is the quarterback we're talking about on the team. He didn't know the incentives for it.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. I mean, there are so many more things to talk about. Let's talk about Joy Taylor. Let's talk about Skip Bayless. Yeah. Sean, that's for you. Let's talk about Skip Bayless, the downfall. Let's do it. $1.5 million. I mean, there are other organizations out here that do things right. Baltimore's more exciting. They got Lamar, you know, Patrick Mahomes more exciting. Let's be like Mikey B. I'm tired of this. The only thing that will change Jerry is getting some apathy. If he sees everybody checks out, maybe something will change. That's the only thing that's going to happen. So with that all said, you know, let's talk about something else, y'all. Let's do it.
But you did call in on the topic. You did call in, and I got Joy Taylor and Skip in my best of the weekend at 7:40. That's my best of the weekend.
Is it really upsetting to sit there and think about, like, we might be talking about Jerry being cheaper than Skip Bayless? That Skip's willing to put out $1.5 million. Jerry won't even fork over $250 for Cooper Rush.
Someone has to. We were talking with someone last night, and they were talking about that coach is too expensive, that coach is too expensive. And I sent a text back and said, can you explain, maybe Todd Archer, 720, explain to me why there's this idea and maybe the reality that Jerry wouldn't pay for a coach. I don't get it. I don't understand. He's paying Dak 60 a year.
Yeah.
He's paying Land 35 a year. They're going to pay Micah. So he's not skimping when it comes to paying his own at all. No one can argue that. Why this thing about coaches, though?
Because look,
and that doesn't
still
even affect the cap.
It doesn't.
That makes his. There's a check so big I would write. Mm-hmm. That makes that the biggest, you know, joke of all.
Well, it just goes back to what he said. You know, when Jimmy left, like any one of 500 coaches could coach this thing. He truly. I mean, I think he thinks it is the same team. I think he thinks it is the same situation. Like regardless of what year it is and who the players are. I think he can just find. He thinks he can find anybody to coach it.
Yeah, and that's
that you'll want so bad to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys that I shouldn't have to pay you that.
Yeah,
kind
that's
of money.
The standoff right now where it's like, prove how bad you want this. Don't even take an interview if you don't. You don't even have security in what you're doing here. I haven't told you you're coming back yet. So prove how bad you want it. Don't take a job interview when you have no security. And if you show me that, well, then maybe we can talk about if you come back or not. That's an absurd standing, but it's power that he's wielded effectively for 40 years now.
Mike McCarthy was asked after the game, all right, do you actually want to come back here?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, I have a lot invested here. So the Cowboys have a lot invested in me. And then there's a personal side to all these decisions. So, you know, they all point in the right direction. But I think any time you invest, you know, your time, energy, your belief, the connection you have, the relationships that are in place here, you know, the understanding of what the organization can do and is willing to do, that those are all positive attributes that you take into account. But absolutely, I'm a builder. I believe in building programs. I believe in developing young players. So, but at the end of the day, it is about winning, and you have to have those components in place to get this thing where it needs to be. And I think we have a very good foundation there.
Well, it's been 5 years, Coach. So how do you convince fans that you can still actually get the job done and put this team over the top?
I understand why you ask the questions. I don't like to talk about myself that way, but I'll just be clear. I'm a winner. I know how to win. I've won a championship. I won a championship in this building, and that's who I am. So, and we'll see where it goes.
Twolo Andy.
Oh.
Tennessee Andy.
Go Vols.
Andy, you're up next here on Sean and RJ. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, guys. How's it going, man? Wow.
Wonderful.
Jeez, been a while. RJ, man, sorry about your Vols, brother.
We're number one in the nation in basketball. I don't know what you're worried about.
men's or women's? There you go. Men's. There you go. And my man Bobby and Sean, obviously. I got to tell you, yesterday was the first time on a Sunday that I have not watched a down of NFL football.
What'd you do?
And this, I know. And this team has just absolutely taken the life out of any sports entertainment that I have ever felt in my entire life.
Yeah, look, it's
such a shame.
This is what happened to me living in the DMV. People are like, oh, I know you're still a Washington fan. I know you grew up there. No. Dan Snyder sucked the football life out of me. Angelos in Baltimore sucked the Oriole baseball life out of me. Chris Hoyles was my favorite player, for God's sake. Uh-oh. I love those Robbie Alomar, Rafael Palmeiro teams, Ben McDonald, Mike Mussina.
Ricky Bonas.
Peter Angelo sucked out of me. Then you try to go over to the Nationals, the Lerner family. The life can be sucked out of you. You're starting to experience it here a little bit. Now, it's not that bad. It's not that bad, and it's not close. It really isn't. You can't have 36 regular season wins in three of the past 4 years,
right,
and feel like it's that level of Dan Snyder and Peter Angelos. It's not, but I get what you're saying, and many fans are saying it. How many tweets do you get? It's the smallest amount of a game that I've watched. I actually didn't check in. I don't listen when the Joneses come on the radio. I don't listen when you guys talk about them. Please talk about something else. You're getting more and more and more and more of it. Now, what is it really going to accumulate and add up to? I don't know. They're still going to be the number one draw, I think. They're still going to be the number one offseason topic. They're still going to sell the merchandise, I believe. How much is it really going to hurt? Especially if they bring Mike back.
If they bring Mike back, I don't think it's going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. They could do anything. There's going to be the same amount of fans there next year. There's going to have the same amount of intrigue because it's the same situation that anybody who says, I'm out on this. Yeah, you could say you're out on it until that first Sunday rolls around. And you know what you're going to do. Your butts are going to be on the couch watching the game.
Yeah, on the couch, not in the stadium. I mean, like it was yesterday.
He doesn't care. You're going to get 100,000 people regardless.
He does.
I'll tell you, fans in there.
I'll tell you, that's the one thing that will bug him is stuff like yesterday. And look, they listen over there. I know. So maybe one of you guys can pass along this question to Jerry for me. Was he comfortable with half of the stadium being empty yesterday, it felt like, at times?
Well, eliminated with a backup quarterback. Yeah. Right. Third string.
Right. You've got a coach who got you eliminated with a backup quarterback before the end of the season. So that's nothing surprising.
Don't come on. A coach who got you eliminated with a backup, everyone would be eliminated with a backup.
So then it sounds like, but I'm just saying that that's
Mike
where you
didn't
ended
get
up.
Dak hurt.
That's where you ended up, though, is just you got to the end of the season. This was not a team that was winning football games before that. This was a bad football team. It was one that was going to be eliminated long before that, to where you were going to be starting a backup quarterback the last week of the season regardless.
Let's talk. That's an interesting. Now I do wish that they would have won the game and shaved your damn head. Let's set the rest of the NFL.
Keep all of it.
Well, much left. The full playoff field is set. Let's get to the matchups and a Nelly ticket giveaway next.